everybody. Welcome to the Star Wars Rebels After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Season 3, episode 10, 8, 12. Nobody knows. The numbering makes absolutely no sense at all. An inside man. We'll be breaking down the episode and talking about our thoughts and predictions for the future in just a moment.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I suppose I should have warned you about my pre-show
ritual.
Yeah, of like not really ever knowing what number episode it is. Because like according to Wikipedia, it's one thing.
Wikipedia is very confusing. I was trying to get the numbers down and then they didn't even have this episode's like bio up. I was like, this is a lot.
Yeah, nobody believes in numbers.
Right, exactly. Because I mean, sometimes they're like, that first episode that's longer was one episode and technically it's a movie. But actually it was two episodes. And who cares?
We have that on Z Nation.
Yes, exactly.
That's the worst.
And some of you may recognize this fine opening theme that we have chosen. If any of you are Disneyland enthusiasts,
Disney World as well.
I think it's the same music in Disney World. I haven't been to Haunted Mansion to Disney World in so long that I didn't want to say that for absolute certain. But we really wanted to open with like Thrawn's organ music.
And we couldn't find any creepy organ music, right. So it was just like Haunted Mansion.
This is how we live our lives.
Apparently nothing comes up when you type in menacing organs into the YouTube search engine.
Stephen, our wonderful engineer, attempted to do for us. So thank you to him, and thank you to you guys for watching us right now. Welcome again to the Star Wars Rebels After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. If you have not done so already, go to iTunes, subscribe to us there, then you can take us with you on the go. You can listen to us talk about Star Wars while you're walking your dog, while you're driving to work, while you're doing your homework, as long as it's like art homework, because if it's like writing homework, you probably don't want to like listen simultaneously. That might be distracting.
Been there, done that.
Also, if you are listening on iTunes, remember that you can also go over to YouTube and watch us even live, like is going on right now. If you're over on YouTube, you know, give us a thumbs up. Let us know what you think. We love hearing from you guys. And you can also tweet at us during the live show, for those of you who are watching live, using that hashtag ABTVRebels. You can also use that to tweet at us throughout the week. And we are also keeping up with the live chat. Let me introduce the fabulous panel of women we have assembled here today. Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T.
And the newest addition to our little rebel squadron.
Very excited.
Joelle Monique.
Hi, guys. Woo! I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
And I am Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet wherever Emma Fifes are sold at my name, Emma Fife. So, before we get into talking about the episode, Joelle, welcome.
Hi, so glad to be here.
Yes, tell us a little about yourself. Like, let's get to know you for a moment here.
I'm a Ravenclaw.
Okay.
All right, for Black Girl Nerds, I would also be part of the Air Tribe. No, probably not water. I do water. Okay. This is how I just describe myself when I enter nerdy situations, is just houses and
absolutely. No, I understand. I always have a real dilemma when it comes to like what sort of bender I would be. So I just assume I'm obviously the Avatar.
If you're a Ravenclaw, does that
mean you have all four houses at the table?
Oh,
do we? What are you?
Slytherin?
We're Slytherin. Do we have a Hufflepuff here?
No, I'm a Gryffindor.
That's what I thought. It's hard.
I'm a Slytherin, but for the longest time I thought I was a Hufflepuff, so if I counted that...
You're kind of a Slytherpuff. You're both.
Yeah, that's kind of what I hear.
Sure.
So, technically, yes, then we would have half a Hufflepuff.
Equally deadly coming and going.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so let's talk a little about this episode, because this confirmed a theory that was running rampant in the chat. I know a couple of weeks ago, Megan and I got into a very deep discussion about sort of what the future of a particular character was going to be, and it was proposed that he was perhaps, in fact, somebody who he did, in fact, turn out to be in this episode. And we are, of course, talking about Agent Kallus,
yes.
our favorite sort of gray area bad guy.
So cool.
We were watching this, was it two nights ago?
Yes.
A little while ago. And it was at like 10, 11 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good thing that the neighbors happened to be out, because we were making noises.
Yeah.
Noises were made. kid. Yeah. We scared the cat. Like, it was whole nine yards.
He gonna die.
He gonna die.
No, they will never kill David Oyelowo. Don't do this to me.
Oh, no. He's doomed.
I mean...
I have been calling that for a while, and I am just waiting for it to come due.
He definitely had that look at the end of the episode. He was like, well, your plans are always right, so this could be it for me. I wonder if he'll stay dedicated, or if he'll switch back, or if he'll join the Rebels, which is what I'm hoping for.
We've been saying for a while that the second he came out for the Rebels, the second he switched sides, he was hosed. Like, that has been the theory. And he has survived longer than that second, so good for him. But I don't think he's going to make it to the end of the season.
He and his Javert sideburns are dead as a doornail.
I mean, here's the thing, though, is for me, like, the fact that he went this sort of, like, fulcrum route and sort of, like, saw the error of his ways and is sort of trying to make amends gives me hope that he's going to live for longer than I thought he was going to live for. Because, I mean, especially after that episode with Zeb in the last season where the two of them were on the, like, frozen ice planet together and they had to cooperate in order to survive.
So yeah. Great.
I thought... At that point, we're dealing with a Javert character. But there was that little glimmer of hope at the end of the episode when he goes back to his really Spartan-looking quarters.
And where nobody cares about him and nobody notices that he's limping.
Right. So, yeah. Like, from that perspective, I did think, okay, yes, there is a chance that Kallus has actually had, like, he's sort of like
there's going to be a turn. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's... obviously, at least to some extent, what is going on here.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, I think part of what prompted this was actually Thrawn being brought into the fold here. Because Thrawn's methods are overly brutal.
Yes.
They're effective.
Very, very effective.
They're overly brutal, and like I...
That's poor Sumar learned this week.
Oh my god.
Horrible children. I'm just like, no! Why, God? It's so cruel.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
No, we thought he was just going to jump off the bike or that he was going to get off it somehow. And then it's like, here's his burned helmet rolling to the feet of our characters. Like, oh, he is super dead. They just couldn't show it on screen.
Yeah. 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 And I mean, that's one of the things that I think is because here's the thing is I feel like, okay, so up to this point in the series, our sort of main protagonist, with the exception of Maul showing up at the... or main antagonist, rather, with the exception of Maul showing up at the very end of season two, for the most part, we have been dealing with the Inquisitors. Yeah. And the Inquisitors are basically hunting down the Jedi. And yeah. That's... I mean, sure, they're terrible people, and they'll kill anybody who gets in their way, but, like, they really exist to try to eradicate the Jedi.
And murder children.
Exactly.
And recruit more Inquisitors.
Exactly.
But they're not that bad guys.
They're very straightforward. They're very, very straightforward bad guys.
Yeah. You kind of know what they're going to do.
Exactly.
I almost wish we had gotten a little bit more because of that sense of competition. Mm-hmm. Competition between the brothers and the sisters. I wish we had gotten a little bit more of that. But, yeah, I mean, that aside, they are very straightforward. It's pretty black and white. They are traditional Sith Force users where there's not a lot of nuance to them.
Right.
We love them.
Oh, like, yeah. No, they were great
the
villains.
Sisters, but, yeah.
They're hounds. They're big and competitive, and you keep them to hunt. But they're not good for much else.
Right, exactly.
Coyotes.
Yeah. And it's not to say that they are not... intelligent. They're just not particularly creative thinkers. No. So they are. They're that very sort of black and white, straightforward evil. And
I will say, with the exception of the Grand Inquisitor, given his backstory, as you know, the Temple Guard, which you get the little helmet in this
episode. In Thrawn's collection, which is just like, wow, look at how not okay I am with any of this.
Heartbreaking, but so great.
Yeah, no, it's very true. Yeah, Thrawn's art collection is
so creepy.
It is really creepy because now he's got like. The portrait of Hera's family. He's got that
real creepy,
portrait of
by the way.
Ezra at like the when he was masquerading as a stormtrooper, like the first in the first season, in the episode where like he was in cahoots with not Dante Bosco, but the other guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it is. It's just this growing collection of like.
It's
stuff.
Like a serial killer's trophy collection.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No.
This is actually the thing that makes me like Thrawn.
Oh, 100%.
The serial killer trophy collection?
Yes!
His lampshades?
I was one of those people who early on. I'm like, this is not Clone Wars. And I was upset about it, but I kept watching because it's Star Wars. And now, as we get into these, like, once they brought Maul back, and then now with Thrawn, I'm like, real villains! Like, yes! Like, I love really complex, like, and especially, like, Thrawn just knows everything immediately. He's like, they're not headed that way. We gotta try something different. I'm like, how do you know?
I'm pretty sure Thrawn can see the script. But he just kind of peeks over the fourth wall and goes, oh,
yes.
They're going that way.
I was
going
to say,
that's a very obvious tactic for the Rebels to take.
That's what the red eyes are for. They give you the power to see through the fourth wall into the writer's room.
Right. We're getting to that point because he's almost too perfect. Yeah. Like, I'm getting to the point where it's going from, this is a really great, intriguing, smart villain, to how?
How do you know everything?
I need to see your, show your work. Show your work, because I think you're looking up answers in the back of the book.
Agreed. No, but I understand what you're saying, though, Joelle, about Thrawn, because, and this goes back to what I was saying about the Inquisitors. So, yes, the Inquisitors were bad guys. The Grand Inquisitor certainly had a little bit of an interesting backstory.
More nuanced.
Exactly.
To him,
it was a little more nuanced than, you know, the Seventh Sister and the Fifth Brother, who very much were like, we're in competition with each other. And then there were other random brothers that showed up as well and all died.
With cool helicopter lightsabers before they fell to their inevitable
sad death.
Fire Robbie.
Poor Eighth Brother. We knew so little of him.
We hardly knew ye.
But a whole 42 minutes of screen time.
But what I'm saying is, like, to this point, the most really terrifying villain we've had before Thrawn, and even, you know, Maul aside, who is, yes, definitely a villain, but also kind of falls into this, like, I'm on my own side.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, gray area. I mean, very
he's
dark
your crazy
gray.
Uncle.
Mm-hmm. Very dark gray, but still a gray area.
Maul is Ezra's crazy uncle.
Yeah, I mean, basically.
Who deals with black magic.
Well, but evil.
Yeah,
so basically we were dealing with, okay, so at this point, like, Vader is still kind of our scariest villain, and we already know what ends up happening to him. And so, like, even though, yes, at this point in Rebels, like, he is very much in power, he is very terrifying, like, at the point that we see him in A New Hope, where you're like, what on earth is that?
Yeah, exactly.
But can you remember the first time you saw Darth Vader ever?
Yeah, it was real scary.
I will maintain that Vader never scared me in
really?
The movies. He didn't scare me until he was introduced in Rebels, and then I was like, oh god!
You know,
I understand now.
They actually did a really great job of making him more terrifying. That low shot, he's so tall in the part two.
Yeah.
Like, it's just very imposing. And then, oh my gosh, when he just first steps off the ship, I totally agree with you. I was terrible. I was two when I first saw Star Wars.
Yeah, same.
I was coming from a sci-fi like nerd house. But this, to be terrified at, like, 24 in a cartoon,
yes.
I was like, well, this is really good work.
I understand everyone else's nostalgia now.
The slow, deliberate movements. I gotta say, I started with Return of the Jedi, so that's not quite as impactful an introduction to Darth, you know, to Darth Vader. And by the time I started watching these movies, first of all, I watched them all out of order, and then also everybody had spoiled it for me, the whole Luke, I am your father thing.
Of course.
Because it's just part of pop culture now. So,
right. Like, see, to me, that at four, when I saw Empire Strikes Back, that threw me for a loop. I was like, he's what now?
What? Say what? But when I finally went back and watched, A New Hope again, after, being a teenager instead of a kid.
Sure.
I watched it again. I was like, yeah, like, holy cow, this is this character's introduction? I was like, damn.
Yeah, exactly. So, but basically what I'm saying is that it's like, we have this villain who is terrifying and awesome and done extremely well in this show, but at the same time, this is familiar territory.
Yes,
yeah, that is very true.
Then finally, this season, we're introduced to a really terrifying bad guy who we truly believe is a threat and could really tear everybody apart.
And he's a mastermind on top of all of that.
He's terrifying in a very different way from Vader, because Vader is the dragon. He's the right-hand man. He is the show of force. Yeah. Thrawn is the chess master, and that is an entirely different kind of power.
Yes.
And again, I'm starting to get to the point where I think he can see the script. So, who even knows?
It would be really nice to see Thrawn in a complicated situation that he can't quite figure out. Like, I'm curious, as you say, I want to see him tackle these issues. I want to see him show his work and, like, when you're cornered, how does Thrawn react then? Yeah. There's nobody there to back him up.
Actually see some problem solving.
Yes.
Right now, he's seeing the chessboard from an entirely different perspective than everybody else, and he's miles ahead of everybody else. So, it would be nice to see him caught unawares and to see him think his way out of that situation to really show, like, just how intelligent he is. Yes, he's very slow and very deliberate with his overall strategy, which is great, and the way he speaks and everything like that, but to actually have to be, like, on the fly, come up with something brilliant, like, that would be, I think, something that would even more so display his intelligence and how much of a force he is to be reckoned with.
Absolutely. Because with the Inquisitors, even within their introductions, you can see they're not immediately all-powerful. They can be fought. They can be beaten. And you see them come back and think their way around it and fight their way around it.
Right.
Thrawn has been immediately perfect in every situation, every time we see him. And it's kind of starting to break my suspension of disbelief here. It's starting to edge up on the, he's too perfect and this isn't fun anymore.
See, for me, I think that it is still fun for me because...
Same here.
Obviously, there's a lot we're not seeing. Mm-hmm. And there has to be flaws in this plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But that's what I want to see. I'm with Megan. I want to see him... actually have to come up with something. I want to see him be wrong and recover.
I think it'll be interesting as they start doing the investigation of who amongst their ranks. Like, it kind of seemed like maybe he knew already, which I'm really hoping is not the route they go. But to watch him actually go through the ranks and see if maybe he's able to distance himself from people, if maybe they turn against him. Like, I just want to see him in an emotional state because he's so, like, don't address your emotions. Like, we're going to go tactical. And the chess master thing, as you mentioned. But to see him get hit in an emotional spot and how that makes him react, I just want to see him in different situations.
The only time we've seen him do that is when somebody insulted art to his face.
Yeah.
But he was quick to recover.
Yes. It's okay. It's just a peon. They don't understand.
Kiki in the chat says he just bribes Pablo Hidalgo and is like, yo, let me see those script notes.
Yep. Pretty much.
Perfect.
Oh, my God.
Amazing. But sort of just to circle back to what we were talking about with Thrawn and how, like, you want to see him, you know, you want to see, like, what makes him, what gets to him emotionally. It's kind of like... with Agent Kallus, that, like, he was kind of this cold, methodic, like, by-the-book Imperial officer. Mm-hmm. And then when we saw him stranded with Zeb, we saw...
his humanity.
His humanity. And he started to embrace his own humanity, as we clearly saw in this episode. So I understand where it's like, you can't have a villain that's just, like, all... perfect evil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not just one thing.
It gets unbelievable and it gets kind of boring. Like, well, he's back and he's interesting, but he's never gonna... We know how this is gonna play out.
I'm with you, Emma. I'm still having fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like later on down the line, we're gonna see that. We're gonna see either he slips up because Phoenix Squadron will figure out a way to maneuver around whatever masterful plan he has set up. Or, they're going to take him unawares in a way he won't expect. Or he'll win and Phoenix Squadron will have to bounce back. And because I don't see him being the through villain throughout the end of the series. I feel like this is kind of...
I'm really curious.
Because I only see him being here this one season and then being called away to another part of the Empire.
It's interesting. But, I mean, so to sort of draw that connection once again between, like, Thrawn and Kallus, is that, you know, now Kallus is in a situation where he has, you know, he sort of... come to question the ways of the Empire. And then I think that, you know, somebody was mentioning earlier that, like, Kallus being brought in feels like it could have very much been part of, like, his ultimate decision to be like, no, like, you brought in this really extreme, like, cold-blooded murderer, basically.
An actual person who committed genocide.
Yeah!
I was gonna say, Kallus took credit for a genocide.
Right.
Thrawn might have actually committed one. At least one.
Yes.
Probably probably multiple accounts in this.
Oh, no. Yeah. Like, without
basically,
question.
And basically said, like, when, you know, they brought up, you know, when Thrawn was first introduced, where it's like, oh, he was really successful on this mission. And they're like, there were more civilian casualties than, like, actual deaths of enemies. And it's
acceptable.
Like,
yeah,
whatevs. We won.
Yeah. It's totally. Part of the Empire's motive always.
Yeah.
It's like, but did we win, though? Did we plant our flag? Good. Move forward.
Could you imagine if they actually talked like that?
But did
Talus
we win,
like,
though?
Dude.
Luke in the chat has said my favorite thing so far. At about the point that I was starting to think it, put Thrawn in a room with Chopper.
Oh, man. Wow.
Because
wow.
You want the weird, unpredictable bit. Wow. You put him in the room with the homicidal robot. Let's go.
Emma
Let's
called go. It, if that's going to be the case.
Exactly. I said the Chopper's going to be Thrawn's undoing. Guys.
Yeah. Wow. Well, a part of that is, and Kim, we were talking about this while we were watching it, droids are invisible. Droids are second-class citizens if they are considered citizens at all. Mm-hmm. And it's continually Chopper in a new coat of paint.
Yes.
Just going through it, being like, I totally belong here. And no one cares.
Getting to which is probably the ideal job for him, because he gets to torture other robots.
Oh, like, my God.
As he goes along.
I literally cannot get enough of Chopper in disguise.
I know.
It just is so funny to me.
And no one has figured out to be suspicious of that specific model of droid yet.
It's true.
No one.
And I think it's really funny as a viewer, because for us, we're looking at Chopper, who is an astromech droid, who has a very distinctive personality.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really, like, mask that personality.
No,
when he's pretending to be an Imperial droid. So.
Like, that would be the best, as an undercover agent, it would be so great if you didn't have to hide your personality. You're
right.
Like, yeah, you just put on a new trench coat every exactly. time, and boom, you're
you
good to go.
Instantly fit in.
I am invisible by virtue of being mechanical.
A quick question as a newbie: is Chopper everyone's favorite droid from the Star Wars? From all the Star Wars series, Chopper's my absolute favorite.
I'm particularly fond of, what was it, A5?
AP5.
AP5.
Yeah. AP5 is pretty great.
I adore AP5.
His Alan Rickman voice is so great.
Oh, I know.
I need another episode where it's just him and Chopper. Like, I
yes.
need that in my life.
That would be really satisfactory, actually.
Give me another one.
Yeah, I was hoping he was going to be around and they were going to be the most opposite of C-3PO and R2-D2 that you could possibly be.
Yeah!
But no, I love Chopper. I just, especially when, like, the main sort of, you know, astromech droid we've been with is R2-D2, and he's this really, like, cute, endearing personality.
Yeah. And then BB-8 shows up, and he's just
right.
like, oh, dear God, you're a kitten.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're just like, how can we make R2-D2 cuter? Well, let's just make it a little ball droid. Everyone's gonna love that.
Let's just make it a soccer ball.
Right, exactly. But then, like, to have Chopper as, like, your other sort of main droid of
yes.
that class, like, what a difference. And he's just, yeah, he's great.
I think Chopper doesn't take orders from anyone.
No, nobody. Literally, no.
Care.
I loved a little bit.
It's clear he respects her as captain. He's like, okay.
It's like, you did save my life, so.
I'll kill you last in the robot uprising.
I love, and Griffin just pointed this out in the chat as well, when Kallus first, confronts Kanan and Ezra in the elevator.
So great.
And he's like, you know, Zeb trusted me. I got Sabine out of the Imperial Academy. Your droid trusts me. And Ezra's like, I wouldn't really, like,
that's not a vote of confidence.
Yeah.
Like, it's Chopper.
And granted, Kallus has done some pretty terrible things. I mean, he was very complicit in the minister's murder, along with, like, you know, being responsible for many rebels getting killed as well. But, like, the fact that, you know, he is Fulcrum, he's been giving them this information, and Ezra still felt the need to force push him through a pane of glass. I'm like, dude, it's not like the movies. That is painful.
This is one of
I
my
laughed.
Favorite moments in this season. Because they've, Ezra and,
Kanan.
Thank you. Have been at such odds lately. And it's been really disheartening to me, because I love their, like, father-son kind of mentorship
yeah,
thing. And
I
so
agree.
To see them agree on something but be mad about the fact that Kanan didn't get to do
aww,
it.
Yes.
I'm like, this is a precious moment. We need more of this.
Yeah, that was pretty spectacular.
Aww,
was
like,
we need to make it look convincing.
Of glass.
That's convincing.
Like, yes, it is. Dear God.
Ow. And poor Kallus is like,
Kallus
it's fine.
Died that day.
I'm just bleeding internally.
Yep.
It's fine.
All the blood's on the inside, which is where it's supposed to be.
So yeah. It's okay.
Yep. I love that Clancy Brown showed up again for a moment at the beginning of this episode.
I always love when Clancy Brown shows up in anything animated.
It I had to look his name up again, because to me I was just like, oh, it's Clancy Brown. It's Ryder Rizzotti.
Yeah, it's Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Honestly, that does sound like a Star Wars name.
It does. Like, that could be... I could see Clancy Brown hanging out with Lando Calrissian, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Being scoundrels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like when... They bring in a character like him back. And the fact that we returned to Lothal in this episode was really surprising. Like, we've been away for so... Like, it feels like it's been so long since we've been on Lothal. What was it? The end of... The beginning of season two, I think, was the last time...
There was one episode where they came back.
And that's where we meet Ryder.
Yes.
But that was one episode, out of all of season two. Yeah. So it's been a while.
It's cool to see the Rebels have... built up their ranks and are like, they're like, we got this, it's on lock. And then it kind of feels nice that they don't even need to be there. Like, Lothal's handling its stuff.
Well, and Thrawn made a point that they have ties to Lothal. They will keep coming back to Lothal. So I would not be surprised if our season three finale, Last Stand, is on or around Lothal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Thrawn's going to set that trap.
Governor Price, she's the governor of Lothal, and she's the one that brought Thrawn into this in the first place.
Right.
So, like, it's nice to actually see her on the planet that she's governing.
Right, because they referenced her so many times in season one, and they're like, Minister Tuo was like, oh, Governor Price is away, and I'm, like, acting in her stead, and now here
and
she
now
is.
And now she's really dead, so Governor Price is back, like, well, my fill-in called in pieces, so I need to be back.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kallus, and, Vader, and Inquisitor.
Okay, thanks, guys.
So what do you guys think her deal is? Because, like, to me, she seems real evil and real in cahoots with Thrawn.
I feel like she just really believes in the cause. Like,
okay.
And that kind of, I can't remember Hitler's wife's name. But in that sense of, like, no, we will do what it takes to get these things. That she was ready to burn her entire crew when he had the mention of someone being disloyal.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, seeing her so infuriated at the idea of a spy in her ranks, in the Imperial ranks, it infuriated her. So, I have to agree with you. I think she really is just kind of a true believer, and or she was placed in this position of power. Like, she could have been someone like the minister who was just a civil servant, and then she was placed in this position of power by the Empire, and just was like, hey, this is the thing that gives me the power that I want, so, like, let's kind of just roll with this.
Yeah. See, I'm trying to figure out if she really has drunk the Kool-Aid, or if she's just looking at Thrawn like, yes. doing a full-on Bellatrix Lestrange, like, I am evil in my own right, but hello.
I mean,
I'm gonna be more evil just for you. Notice me, senpai.
I would love that if that were, like, plot twist. I'm in love with you. I know.
I don't care.
Just the idea, like, at the very least, I don't think she's romantically interested in him, although
I wouldn't hate it at all.
I actually kind of like
on it. I'll be there for it.
Someone make that video to, like, Careless Whisper.
But just the saxophone part on repeat.
Slow, a lot of fades, a lot of soft effects.
But you really do get the sense that even though Thrawn is this very cold person, they really do seem to have this mutual respect for one another. And it's like, I kind of want to see where that came from, because I feel like Thrawn is very polite. He's very polite to everybody he meets, but I feel like you really have to do something incredible to earn his respect.
Absolutely. And I mean, and, like, she is the governor of a planet.
Yeah.
She's,
that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's not like she's a high-ranking military officer.
That's also true.
So it's very interesting that she and Thrawn have this kind of, like, partnership, mutual trust.
It's funny that you say that, because I actually think she is a very important part, in at least in some regard, like in terms of maybe a consulting fashion, because she's away from Lethal.
No, I agree so with you. Much. Absolutely.
So I really do feel like the Imperial, you know, the Imperial Army really does value her and her opinion in a number of different ways.
Yeah, it's also one of the most troublesome planets, too.
That's true. That's very true.
We have Megan Rickards in chat with my new favorite theory. I think she's only interested in Thrawn so she can cut him down and take his position. Chad has also decided that the ship name for that is Prawn.
Thank you, guys. That's
which,
amazing.
I'm down.
I don't like that name.
Megan doesn't
it's
like
a
anything.
Good ship name.
Yeah.
Or it could be Thrice.
I like that better.
That's still also really a word, Megan. I'm surprised that you're
it's
on board.
Also the not name of a band a I liked in high school.
Nice. Okay.
It's spelled with a Y, Thrice.
Did you have something else from chat, Katie?
No, I just enjoyed all of that very much.
Perfect. Yeah,
Thank you for that.
But I'd like to say I don't want to, I would not discount Megan Rickards' theory at all.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, if it turned out that Governor Price was like, psych, I'm trying to take over the whole Imperial force, I'd be like, yeah. Okay.
See, I don't see her looking to cut down Thrawn, like, in a weird backstabby sort of way. She doesn't strike me as that.
No.
Again, because of that mutual respect, I could definitely see her using him to get ahead, but I don't see her, like, betraying him.
She's power hungry to me, though. I really feel like all of her actions are just in service to her job. I don't see her as somebody who's like clawing her way to the top. And again, it'll be interesting to see when somebody pushes her in the wrong direction, in a direction we haven't seen, and how, because that seems to be when Star Wars characters reveal themselves, when you're pushing just the opposite direction, they're like, psych, actually I'm this. so I don't know. I just don't see her as power hungry at this point. She just seems to want to keep control over what she has.
Yeah, see, I think I disagree. I think this is me projecting onto her what I want.
Like, if you were
her
in
to
her
be.
Shoes.
Exactly. That, like, I want her to be just as smart and evil as Thrawn is, because I want, like, a real good lady villain in Star Wars.
Well, yes.
So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of this they're like, oh, by the way, Thrawn, we need you somewhere else. I mean, Rogue One is happening over here.
Oh,
by the way, and then she steps in and takes his place, and then we have our season 4 villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see that.
I'm very interested to see where she goes as a character, certainly, because I do very much enjoy her.
Yeah, yes. And again, you know, with Lethal being a very important place to our heroes, you know, the current dictator of the planet, you know, call her a governor, cover whatever you want, she's the current dictator of the planet. Ultimately, if they're going to keep coming back here, they're going to keep having clashes with her, you know, regardless of who she has there to help.
Yeah. I don't know. Only time will tell.
Yes.
We spent a lot of time talking about the villains and the not so much villains anymore.
the moral gray area, sideburns,
the double gentlemen. Agents.
And obviously Chopper, because anytime Chopper appears in an episode, which is pretty much every episode, you spend at least 5 to 10 minutes talking about him.
I'm predicting who he's going to kill next.
Yes. let's talk a little about like what was going on with our heroes in this episode.
I have a question.
Yes.
Because when we're hanging out with Ryder, which really cool. Again, Clancy Brown is great. But they bring in a fellow who knew Ezra from childhood and was friends with his parents. Do you guys feel like it's a little contrived to bring in a character like that and say, oh, yeah, I was totes friends with your parents. Oh, look how much you've grown, da-da-da-da. Only to, like, kind of artificially manufacture drama for when that character inevitably gets killed 5 minutes later.
It does seem like a really big sympathy grab. Like, here's the backstory. We immediately want the audience to empathize with this person because this person being one of the rebels on Lothal isn't a good enough reason to empathize with them already?
Yeah.
Question mark? And, oh, now we're going to kill him. Ezra, are you sad yet?
I didn't think they needed to be... Like, when he was introduced, I had a moment because, again, like, we did go back to Lothal somewhere sort of in the middle of season 2, and I was like,
was he
there? Did we meet this guy already? Is this someone I should know? But we had never seen this guy before, so...
I've been here the whole time. Bye!
I mean, I've noticed that they don't really like to kill people that we've grown attached to. Like, you can be maimed, you can lose your sight, you can be pushed off planet, but you don't die. And I feel like, yes, I do miss that aspect of Clone Wars was Clone everything Wars, yeah. to me. And it was death everywhere and mayhem and it was so awesome. But I can really appreciate, it hit me more. Like, okay, look.
And people don't get killed in every episode of Rebels, so, because again, it's, you know, it's a different kind of show at this stage.
Yeah. Well, and I just feel like, look, they did go back to Lothal, and, like, everything about Lothal is Ezra. Like, he, when he's there, he just identifies with everything, and so, yeah, it's a little bit too easy, but I feel like we would have cared either way. It doesn't bother me so much.
Yeah, no, I don't think it bothered me so much as I felt like they didn't need to give it all of the details that they did. They could have just been like, here's this dude on Lothal.
Give me, like, 2 more minutes of that awesome bike chase at the beginning.
Right, exactly.
Just like, he's a rebel on Lothal. That is all the reason we need to sympathize with him. That's it.
And he died in a horrific way.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
God. It was like a gunfire assassination.
It was terrible.
Just everyone having to stand and watch and him being like, nope, gotta get off. You can't. I'm killing you now. Horrible.
The test isn't over yet.
Oh, so creepy. Lars Mikkelsen is everything to me in this role.
And yeah, I honestly thought that it was going to be, oh, he's going to go flying. Oh, he's going to jump off. Oh, something. Nope. Burned helmet like a tumbleweed. Like, God.
I had to be held back, and I was like, oh, God, not again.
What does the rest of the room look like? I don't want to know.
Yeah, nope.
It was a little, it was a
spatter patterns.
It was kind of a little.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not. You are not.
It was a little reminiscent because it was like off screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was off screen and we just saw like, oh, that was clearly terrible. It was kind of like when the Inquisitors got killed by Maul last season.
Yeah. Or like when the officers were decapitated by the Inquisitor in season
That's
one.
That's what I keep going back. I don't think we've had a civilian death this graphic since. There goes your head. Bye.
Yeah.
Off with their heads.
Yeah.
Just like, ooh.
So Ivan says in the chat says that Sumar, that character, was in one of the previous episodes on Lothal.
Which one?
Yeah.
Cite your sources,
oh,
friend.
Oh, he was apparently in season one.
Okay.
It's been, I have
wow,
to admit,
that.
It's been a moment since I watched season one.
I don't remember him in any capacity.
Yeah.
I feel like at that point you should have been like, oh, yeah, we've seen you before. You did X.
Yeah.
So the audience can be like, oh, okay, we've seen him before. Have that reason, as opposed to, here's my backstory with your family. I'm gonna die now.
Yeah, I agree. I would have preferred, like, a reference to exactly what he'd done before, because certainly, like, he's not as memorable a character as, like, Ryder is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there was a whole episode.
Did Sumar introduce Ezra to Ryder? Is that when we met him?
No, because it was season one.
They found him in the, I don't know.
Yeah. He may have also been in the episode with.
And but I might just be completely talking nonsense if that's the case. Feel free to correct me.
They're saying season one, episode 4, which is like, how many years ago was that?
Right?
Was that
like
the one with the cats?
There were many with the cats.
I know.
But yeah, it's been a hot minute since I've watched season one.
Yeah. Well, at this point, too, it's like, you're so wrapped up in, like, the bigger picture of the rebellion that it's like,
who the heck is this guy?
It's like that.
I mean, if you wanted to make this NPC's death a little bit more impactful, then sprinkle him in a few more places. That's literally all you have to do.
Yeah,
to just, like, make it a little bit more like, oh, dang. I feel like the way he died is definitely horrific enough.
Absolutely.
I mean, when they kill Clancy Brown, we're all going to be real sad about it. But that's because we've gotten to know him.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, if you want to manufacture this backstory for this character, all you have to do is sprinkle him in one or two more places, and that's literally all you have to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, it's like, one way or another, this character was not executed in such a way that I specifically cared about him, but I would be heartless to not feel some feelings over that death.
We cared because he died horribly. And that's kind of a terrible reason to care about a character.
That's hilarious. Ivan says that he remembered Sumar. Right, that's his name?
Yeah.
And mustache guy.
Mustache guy. But he didn't remember Ryder. So,
oh, God.
We're not alone. But how could you forget Clancy Brown?
There was an entire episode devoted to him.
The George Clooney of Rebels? Come on now.
He's amazing.
amazing.
It's all good. There are so many characters in Star Wars, you guys. You cannot possibly be expected to remember every single one.
Yeah.
You have to come up with nicknames to, like, classify them.
Like it's Mustache fine. Guy. Yeah,
like Mustache Guy.
God. Or just Clancy Brown.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep. But, yeah, how interesting, though. Like, what a great plan from the Rebels to actually, like, infiltrate the factories.
Yes!
And sabotage speeder bikes and other weapons. Like, that's a great plan.
Yeah, it's a really good plan. Yeah, because it's like you're going to the inside source and, like, it's like cutting off, you know, the tree at the roots. I don't know if that's a good metaphor for that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. It's you're stopping like
poisoning
things.
Poisoning the roots. Yeah. Exactly. That's better.
Yeah. But yeah, like, so I really liked that that was the plan and the setup for this infiltration at the beginning of the episode. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, they got out of there with the plans for that TIE destroyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be fun and interesting and very, very problematic for them down the line.
Absolutely. Speaking of ships in Star Wars, you guys, I guess I'm going to classify this as news and gossip.
Definitely gossip.
Well, it's gossip for sure. The news part is questionable.
Guns and ships, and so the balance shifts.
Exactly. So earlier today, if any of you guys were on Twitter, you might have seen a couple of images making the rounds. One of them was tweeted by one of the editors at comicbook.com depicting a shot from some of the most recent footage of the upcoming feature film Rogue One. And you will notice at the bottom of the screen there is a ship that looks like it's perhaps fairly similar in composition to our old friend the Ghost. Also on Twitter a little bit later today, Freddie Prinze Jr. retweeted a similar image of the same image of from Rogue One and actually circled the ship that you're supposed to be looking at.
Right here.
Yes. And that one.
Yes.
I love the way he tweeted it. He was like, could it be?
Yeah, to be clear, he didn't circle it. The guy who tweeted it at him did, but he did retweet it. So. Yeah. I don't know, man. What do you think, guys? Could it be?
I'm going with Easter egg because, again, the second you put something in a movie that is years after the series, you spoil things that are happening in the series.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just Easter egg.
I kind of have to agree. It's probably just a fun little nod to the show because, again, all the producers are, you know, who are working on the show or working on the movies. So, like, everybody's on the same page. So I feel like that's a nice way to give a nod to the animated series that's out right now.
Yeah.
Because you don't get a ton of acknowledgement. You get lots of acknowledgement from the series for the film.
Yeah.
But not so much the other way around. So I think that's a fun little wink and a nod, but at the same time, I don't see it being anything more than that, which is unfortunate because I would love to see these characters like in the film universe,
like
old
Ezra just walking by. I'd be like, yay! You didn't even
old Ezra. Don't be silly. He's dead.
I'm really glad I'm not the only one who kind of lives in that camp.
If anyone's gonna make it to old age, it's gonna be Kanan because he's blind and he'll be sad and filled with regret.
I was gonna go with Chopper. Chopper will outlive them all.
Absolutely.
We might be in predictions territory now, and I don't even care.
No, but what I was gonna say though is that for me, until Rebels is like, if Rebels ends and we find out that Hera in fact survives through all of Rebels, which I really think she might. And that she's still out there somewhere fighting the rebellion, then that's absolutely the ghost.
Absolutely.
But one way or another, it's still just an Easter egg. But still, like, but nice for fans of the animated series.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. And once the series ends, we will know for sure, because if the series ends and our crew survives, 100% the ghost.
So then, like, 3 years from now, we'll come back to this and be like,
It was them all along.
Watch him just blow it up in this scene.
Oh! And that's how their story ends.
Wrap it up, you guys. Don't worry.
This isn't where my story ends.
This is where his story ends.
Yep. So that's it for news and gossip. Let's talk a little more about iTunes, because apparently we have a nice new iTunes review to share. Yes, am I crazy?
But I need a minute because my iPad likes to close
iTunes if you leave us reviews in the iTunes store, it's a great way to let our producers at AfterBuzz here know that you like us getting together and talking about Star Wars Rebels every week. It makes us look really good, basically, to, number one, our producers who keep saying, yes, you can keep doing the show, and also to outside eyes, be it at, like, Disney XD or Lucasfilm, to be like, oh, they are legit. Maybe we should let people from the show go be on their show when their schedules are not too crazy to do so.
Hi, Disney people. What's up?
Yes.
We're available.
Yes. So if you do leave us an iTunes review, then we will give you a little shout-out on the show. Katie?
Like this, we have Holy Fulcrum with 5 exclamation points from Prodigal 358. Hi, everyone. Since you mentioned a theory about Agent Callus being Fulcrum,
yes.
I couldn't stop thinking about it until this past episode. I shall never doubt you all again.
You should have never doubted us in the first place.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Oh, there it is! Nice!
There it is!
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How are you thanking the person who left the iTunes review or me?
Both.
Fantastic.
6 of 1, 6 of 1, 6 of the other.
Yes. Again, thank you so much, guys, for leaving us those iTunes reviews. We do really, really appreciate them. And now, let's officially move on into some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So did everyone see the trailer for next week?
I didn't see the trailer, but I definitely, you know, if you go to like Wiki and they have a really quick synopsis.
Yeah. This is the point where the Clone Wars people start crying, I think, because we see Maul. We see what looks to be the Darksaber on an altar.
Yes.
And there is Mandalorian writing on a wall. And
yes!
One of my friends is a really big Clone Wars Rebels fan, and she's like, no, that says Kenobi. I'm like, oh!
So I can't handle it.
Well!
I'm not prepared emotionally. Woo! Okay, it's cool. It's good. That's very exciting, particularly the Darksaber, which is the best.
And the shrine, you have to help me with this name, but the shrine is to the woman that Obi-Wan had the thing with, whose name that is absolutely escaping me.
The queen chick?
Oh, yeah.
I think
what
so.
What is her name?
Starts with an S, right?
Oh, the one that Maul murdered.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot
recall her name, but she wore flowers in her hair and she was amazing.
Yeah.
Again, guys.
She's dead now.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes! Thank you for that.
So, yeah. That's,
Fight.
That's going to be it.
Listen, guys, I have been, since that episode...
Princess Satine.
Thank you,
Griffin, in the chat.
Thank you, chat.
So, can we safely assume that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do is going to be in the next episode?
I mean, listen.
Lie down and cry. It's like that thing, lie down, try not to cry, cry more.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
that's going to be my life.
Is like, that to me would be amazing, to like, get to see... Obi-Wan and Maul have, like, the duel they deserve?
Yes.
That would be a correction that it is Duchess Satine.
Duchess Satine, yes.
Okay.
She was not a queen. But, you know, she had
she ran around it like Amidala.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, royalty in Star Wars is very confusing because apparently you can be a queen and a senator, but also then you can't, and queens are elected, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
It depends on the planet, I suppose.
That's why I feel like we're not, like, governor, we don't really know what that means in the Star Wars world.
No, it could be Grand High Pooba for all we know.
Exactly.
And I would love to see a planet where the leader is the Grand High Pooba.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sort of immediate predictions. Wow. I can't wait. I mean, the mid-season finales are, you know, we're going to have a little break after this, probably come back sometime in the end of January. So, like, the next...
2 months.
The next episode is going to, like... something's gonna happen.
I think as far as immediate predictions go, I think the thing that we've been building to all season is Ezra's friction with the rest of the team.
Yes.
And it's going to hit its breaking point.
Absolutely.
And that's gonna be the impetus for whatever it is that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All I have is that this mid-season finale is going to hurt us terribly and leave us in piles crying with each other waiting for it to come back.
Ezra's been doing a lot of his own stuff without permission, just kind of going off. And it's kind of worked out, and he's feeling big in his britches. He's feeling very lucky, and I think he'll pull another one of those hero stunts where he thinks he's making the right decision, and he'll wind up screwing his team over big time.
And Ezra has this, like, terrible tendency to put a lot of faith in people who he really shouldn't.
Who don't deserve it.
You know,
it.
It's like Hondo
being
one example. Maul.
Hondo again. Right. Maul again. Yeah. Still Hondo.
Mostly just those two, honestly.
But still.
Let's be real.
But that's the thing is, like, because, and it comes from a good place of, like, no, I believe that, like, people really are good and they, like, want to help me, and I'm making this great decision on my own and teaming up with this person who can really help out our cause.
Well, and so, like, I don't really trust him, but you do.
But he does.
There was talk in chat a week or two ago about Ezra and Maul having a force connection, and this episode being about Ezra trying to get the heck away from that.
Oh,
so
interesting.
That could be interesting.
Yes. Well,
my understanding is it's likely. Very difficult to break those without one person dying.
I mean, Ahsoka couldn't do it. Like, I mean, I don't think Ezra is there yet.
No, definitely not.
Or spoiler alert, like Ahsoka comes in at the last minute and fixes
saves
everything.
As you do.
She better
that
not
would
be dead.
That would be one Deus Ex Machina I would be totally fine with.
Yep. Yes.
Totally fine. But yes, alas, we shall have to wait until next week to find out. So, in the meantime, Megan, where can people find you on the internet?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also in a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. I also did an iTalk Movies earlier on Popcorn Talk today, so please check that out as well. And for The Movie Chick, I did a trailer review of the Mummy trailer. So... take a look at that.
Yeah.
So you can hear my thoughts.
Katie Cullen.
I have to say this before my spiel. Justin von Volkenberg in the chat says, remember, Maul has a sale going on. Everything is half off.
I like you.
I like you so much.
Anyway, yes, I am Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. Basically live in the studio. Z Nation is on Mondays. We have two episodes left. You see us here on Tuesdays. Wednesdays is Arrow. Thursdays alternates between Robots in Disguise and Ruby. This week it is Robots in Disguise. It is the season finale for the tiny little 6-episode season that we have going on. So it should be fun and interesting.
Joelle, our wonderful new addition to the panel.
Hey. Thank you guys so much for having me. This was amazing. I'm so excited to talk Star Wars every week. My name is Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at Black Girl Nerds. Check out my Twitter this Friday. There is a 95% chance I will be at the Star Wars premiere. So if I am, I will be tweeting it out and talking to you guys and doing the Periscope stuff. So stay there for that. And you can join me tomorrow right here at AfterBuzz. Oh my gosh, what time do we start? 10, I think? Incorporated. It's amazing. Come check us out.
So jealous. Your chance of being at the Rebels premiere is much greater than mine is. Like, mine is like a very, very slight. Anyway, I'm Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet, wherever Emma Fifes are sold, at my name, Emma Fife. Hey guys, you should all tune in to Screen Junkies on Thursday at 4 o'clock
yes!
p.m. for a very special edition of Movie Fights that is going to be all Star Wars themed. And yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah,
so
girl.
You should tune in and support me. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yes. Also, you can see me on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll know everything that I am doing because I tweet a lot. Thank you so much again to everybody who joined us live watching on the YouTubes, in the live chat, in hashtag. Remember, you can keep using that hashtag to tweet at us throughout the week if you have any more thoughts that you want to share on Star Wars Rebels. And guys, we will see you all again here, same time, same place, next week for the mid-season finale.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
May the Force be with you.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.